The bank door closed. I would guess that if we try to make the soul realm our achievement, that we'd be very specific in the amount of time and in the repetition. I don't think if you go at it, let's say, one night out of a week and try to capture it, you're going to come away with anything that's worthwhile. I think you're going to discover that to find the soul realm, you have to work on it daily. And so I say, before you go to work, or before you go to sleep, sometime when it's really quiet, and at the same time every day, for 10, 15 minutes, just to get the habit started. And then, when you least expect it, in the 10th day, you fall into a rhythm that you didn't in the first 9 days. Something will happen. I find, at any rate, it works like that for me, that you're not so skilled at the beginning of your attempt, but after a little while, you learn what not to do, and then you learn how to blot out certain levels of noise that come into your experience. If I was starting to do that, I would be quiet. Just sit quiet. And even though there'd be some noise around, like the fellow next door, I think, has got a record or something going, eventually, I'd be quiet enough to not even mind what's happening. And then finally, the inner self of me would diminish all of the feelings and the thoughts. There would be a stillness inside the stillness that develops so that the outside makes very little entrance. And you get the feeling that I have isolated myself from this world. That's what I'd be trying to reach, my isolation from the world. Now, when you reach that level, you're in a position to be more alert to what Spirit is trying to tell you. Your capacity to concentrate as you are doing on this level of no thought becomes a treasured ability. If you can get into it sooner, fine, but if you can't, this is the way you'll find you may develop a comparative unresponse to the world outside and an automatic opposite inner response to the inner. It takes about 10 minutes to get yourself perfectly silent. So in all the world, there's only your silence as far as you're concerned. That eliminates to a large degree the mind which would interrupt. And to a large degree, It's an inversion in which you're not a human being anymore. You're open. Something can enter. Something from the Father. Something deep. Something relevant to what you're trying to do. And you're saying by your silence, by your inversion, by their concentration, by the emptiness of thought, you've got to be empty of thought. You're saying by this, Father, I'm ready for you. You may feel that something is happening in there. It can speak and blot out everything in the world around you. And as it speaks, it also quiets you even further and enables you to hear deeper than the ear. That information which comes to you doesn't come through an ear or your brain. Your brain is out of the way, your ear is out of the way. Something comes from within you. It may not be the still small voice, but it'll be this, some type of information, even just a feeling. And that will deepen, so you stay there. And then when the feeling does deepen, it may give you an assurance that you now have an inner life which is alive. And this inner life is going to be your source for God. Through this inner life, God will come to you in some way that will carry you along a bit further than you have been. There really is no outer world in this inner experience. The outer world has no effect upon you whatsoever. Now, what happens in this inner experience will depend upon the degree to which you have developed this capacity for going within. Now, let's say that the thought comes to you that there is something I should know, which is on the verge of being revealed to me, and it won't necessarily be about the things we've talked about just now or before. Whatever happens is what happens, but it will be a thought that is not a thought. An idea that expresses in you and you recognize the idea as not something that you dreamed up. You didn't conjure this idea. Where did it come from? I don't know. And then the thought you carry along somehow, because it lends itself to another thought, which is not coming from your thinking mind. You recognize you have reached a level of no thought, and thoughts are communicating themselves very slowly, but they are being pressed into your consciousness not by any outside influence. And in a moment, you suddenly feel delivered from the thinking mind. The thinking mind, at this point, doesn't think. But still, you are able to develop higher thought unconsciously. And what that may be is totally up to the inner self. But you reach a point of communion which your mind is frozen. Your thought processes are not working. Something is coming through nonetheless. So finally your soul is being awakened, in other words. What else could know what's coming through? You may suddenly find that you're out on the shore, you don't know where it is. You're deep in the meadow, you don't know where it is. You don't know any of the places where you are transported in this moment, but you're just somewhere else. And you don't see where the voice comes from, but you hear it. You finally hear the still small voice. The things it says are quite strange to you. They sound different. It's not a voice that anyone else could hear outside. But you hear it very clearly. It says, I want to impress upon you something that you should know. I want to impress upon you that whatever I give you here, inside, is to be treasured quietly as your own. You may feel you want to follow it. If you feel you want to follow it, do so. And it may lead you to something you had neglected at one time, something you felt at the time that wasn't too important. But now it's saying it was more important than you realize. And it's going to carry you a little further, until you're not even aware that this is a communication from a voice. It's as if someone were directly speaking to you, and you aren't there. You just hear what is said. And it's still not a spoken voice that can be defined as someone's voice, but you're hearing it. You're listening. You're tuned in fact, you're riveted. suddenly the impression may come that you are not a human being. In fact, the voice makes it clear. He calls me son. That implies an intimacy, a closeness. And you now you're listening as closely as you can. Son, it is your function to know me aright. It all is. How can I know you aright? You can't know all of me aright, ever. But you can know something that I want you to know. You think you have a problem in your heart. You have, but not in your heart. You have a problem in the mind that still lingers. The problem is in your mind, thinking you have a problem in your heart. The heart needs no clearance. The mind that thinks the heart does need clearance is where the problem is. And as yet, it's still a superficial problem. See that the Father could not give you a heart. Neither a heart that has a problem or a heart that hasn't a problem. You do not have a heart. You cannot have a problem in a heart you do not have. Now this is coming from within. It really is that you can trust it. Try to see that where you consider your heart to be, there never was one. There never will be one. In anyone on the face of the earth, see that everything you think is wrong only in a make-believe body. You are spirit, and spirit is always perfect. You are nothing else than spirit. And presumably, if these words are heard by you, you can say, I think I understand. Is the message over? The message is over. Every problem you think you have in your body is not in your body at all. Problems are in the mind that thinks the problem is there. And when you are able to overcome the thinking mind, you may still have a lingering of a belief in the problem in the body, but you will finally realize that it's not in the body. You're beginning to loosen up. To be free. Now, this started out as a make-believe experience, but it began to deepen into something. And that's how that will happen to many of us. The problems will be freely discussed by the Spirit, And as you find your mind has isolated you from all thinking of the world, you'll be able to get good clarity on what comes in. You may find for a while that what you think is the voice speaking is not. But you will discover the meaning of my master, Evan. My son hears my voice. Because your ear will get tuned, very well tuned, so that you can detect what is spirit or what is a mental idea. Now, I suggest that you do this once a day. And maybe it's radical, but if you do it once a day, it's only for 10 or 15 minutes. I don't suppose that we've been doing it more than 10 minutes. I think I'd like to work in the morning because you're fresh. You probably have no outside influences at that time. And I know it's silly to suggest to you that you get up at 5, but Joel used to get up at 3. 3 a.m. Because he didn't go to sleep much because he had attained a certain degree of freedom from everything. Anyway, if you get up at a time when it's real quiet, you find your concentration is quicker, the results come quicker, and become so exciting to you that somehow you don't want to give it up. When your message has been delivered, or if you have none, you want to stay there anyway. In this capacity to tune into the Father, you'll find a great extension of yourself. You'll find things that happen to you that would not happen otherwise, and it is a way of getting not only the information you need, but begins to open you even when your eyes are awake and you're walking through the world. Because as you do it daily, you develop this capacity. And in the silence, as you walk through the world, drive the car, do whatever you do, all of a sudden, you find yourself falling into this mood, this quietness. And it's a very beautiful thing when it happens, because something happens that you wouldn't hear otherwise. And it isn't from a thinking mind. And eventually you get to say to yourself, who is this who's speaking to me? Am I really getting a voice or am I not? And you'll find to your surprise that things come that are not in the world. And they're not visible, they're not audible, and where they're coming from, you hardly know. You begin to suspect you've made a contact. And you probably have. Now you've got a friend you didn't have, a friend you can go to. You don't have to say anything. The voice is with you, because that's its function. You don't have to talk to it. It talks to you. You may not want to give it up. You may want to stay there. And I will say this, that if you're working it one day in a row for a while, you'll develop this companionship. Whereas if you just do it isolated in one day and skip a week, you don't get a continuity started. You may not find it very easy, because it is very hard to establish the contact and feel right about it. But when you do feel right about it, I know this, that there is no place in the world where you can get the information you want better than this. No place in the world. Somehow this impersonal spirit inside is not going to flatter your ego. It's simply going to tell you spiritual truth. Do this, do that. Rest in the word. Be still. It'll always be talking in slight little syllables. And then one day, there'll be a mountain of conversation directly from it to you. Stuff you. You hold your breath. So vast. So unlike anything you have heard before. Maybe your imagination, but maybe you will find to your surprise that you have been taken out of yourself. You are now listening from the inner self to a voice from the spirit itself, and every word you hear will be direct from God. Don't ask me how it happens, but it does happen. And God will tell you what no authority can tell you. And after you hear it, you'll say, I see. I understand. I'm flattened by it. I'm flabbergasted, but deliriously happy. Thank you, Father. When you establish that relationship, you will find, if you continue, it is for life, not just a day. It won't happen every day, but you'll find you have a compelling feeling that when there is something to be done, to be said, to be detailed, when I'm supposed to do something I wasn't intending to, when I'm supposed to hear something I should hear, if there's something pressing, whatever it is, I can depend on this voice as I can depend on no human being. It will be specific, and it will always talk to you in such a way that you would never have dreamed of saying these things, because they will be said in a different way. The logic will hit you as irrefutable. And always, when you go to perform what it says, you'll discover that you didn't know this could be done. And the Spirit knew. And you did what you were supposed to, you think. The Spirit will say no. But the Spirit will guide you into doing what you're supposed to. And you will be living in this incredible truth that comes from within. If you are serious and want to find your inner self, this is one way to go about it. You will never be without an inner self after you have cultivated this inner voice. Nothing can take its place. Nothing. The first is a shock. I don't believe I heard the voice, you might say to yourself. It may not happen right away again. It may But there comes a time when... Is that the voice comes to your mind? Seems to. I never heard it before. What is that? And you are aware, finally, that you have been privileged to hear the voice of Spirit in you. And now God has a way of reaching you. And the moment you start living in such a way that you're just a part-time spirit, the voice is gone. As long as you continue living as spirit, being true to it, being honest, being all the things Spirit expects you to be, Spirit will talk to you. And Spirit has a knowledge of whether you're being in an honest state of mind or not. You utter one lie, and there you go. It's over. It keeps you honest. I think it's priceless. I know there's no substitute. I know anything that you have to know will come to you. It doesn't matter what. And this is so... such a tight relationship, such a total faith relationship, that unless you're absolutely living in the true spirit, spirit can't reach you. It can only reach you if spirit is your name in your mind, spirit is your name, your soul is functioning, you know who you are, you know who you're talking to. Spirit will come to you, but you must be true. Absolutely true. Of course, when it happens, you know it's without price. You know there's nothing you could do to influence Spirit to speak to you, except the knowledge that you are pure Spirit, and that you have no desire to color the facts given to you or to change them. You are simply the receiver of what the Father offers you. I hope I made an impression on that point, because I like to see these relationships begin if they haven't. I'd like you to see that there's a whole new dimension, an infinite dimension open to you. You will learn far beyond you ever dreamed possible. This to me is priceless, a pearl of great price. I know anyone who's listening to the inner voice can be trusted down to the last degree. He knows he would jeopardize that if he were not trusted. There's an honest man. Nothing can change him. He's got to be honest to keep the voice coming. If he wavers a degree, he might just blot out something that he can't get back for another 5 years. That's why honesty is important. You can fool people, but the Spirit of God is not that way. So you've got to be dead honest. I mean, that's truly not just honest so that you say the things that are honest, but that you're honest with yourself inside. Spirit has a way of knowing what you're made of. Because you're made of spirit. And if there's any way that you are straying from the spirit, spirit knows it. Isn't this a beautiful thing that it's available, that it's here, that anyone can reach in with a degree of purity? I didn't say to the man last night something that I shouldn't say and something that was false. I didn't do this on my account at the bank if it wasn't true. Nothing I did, said, showed any kind of falseness. And then spirit comes to you. Even if you're wrong, that's different than being untrue. If you're wrong, spirit will correct you. It's that simple. But you've got to be perfectly true. Spirit can't deal with anyone unless that's true. Now, spirit won't work with you to put more money in your bank or to do this in the world. Spirit is working with you to build your spiritual principles. So what you ask spirit is, how do I go out and get a job? How do I do this? How do I do that? All things about the world. Spirit doesn't know about the world. You come to spirit in a different way, and you learn that way. And then it opens you up with enlightenment, shows you things it wants you to know. I think I've covered the subject for the moment. I know that one or two will get it. I know that one or two have got it. Some more will come in later. There will be many, many relationships. And I know you will treasure them. I know you will come into, or have come into, this inner communication which opens up a whole new world of possibilities. And I'm happy that Spirit said this was meant to be taught. Because I've wanted to teach it. But you can only do what the Spirit tells you to do. Well, that's the story there. I suppose it's a sort of a prelude to our fifth world experience, because we're going to use a lot of the inner communication in the fifth world. Spirit is supposed to bring us in as babes, little children. And it will have to give us quite a lot of help, encouragement. But the littlest help from spirit in the fifth world is like a mountain. I hope you can feel that you're being prepared for something momentous. Truly momentous. That you can't swallow it all. It comes at you with such a degree of interest and size and space and all the things that it amounts to. It unlocks doors. It leads you into secret places it begins to present to you those things in the kingdom which you wanted to know, but didn't know how to go about knowing. There's so much more. Now I'd like you to meditate. When Spirit says, find the secret place of the Most High, we've just been in it. And you have your secret place. Everyone has. They just don't know it. When you find it, treasure it for your lifetime. Because it will take you to the kingdom of God, ultimately. It will weed out all those things you're not, which you think you are. It will weed out those things you think you need, which you don't. It will bring you those things which you really need. It will get you working in such a way that you finally put to use what you've been learning. You begin to see all of Joel's principles in a new light. They're far greater than anyone has suspected. And we can commune. You'll commune with many others. You see why love suddenly happens? How can you help but be in love with everyone you find in the inner world? You're in total love. Absolute. You don't even think about it. I just love you. You love me. We deal in love. That is our function. And it's all of the soul. I'd like to just remain here a moment, if we may. I hope some of this goes with you where you go tonight. I hope you have found that the secret place of the Most High has to be part of your daily work. I don't want to say goodnight, but I'll say it. So I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks a lot.